Welcome to this week's Take 15 with the Rabbi. Last week we began to learn about just how much we can affect the fate of our loved ones in the afterlife. If our loved ones in any way contributed to the type of person we are or to any of the good that we're capable of doing, it's as if they continue to do the good in this world even after they're gone. We know that once you get to Shemayim, once you get to the afterlife, there's no more possibility of doing mitzvah. We also know that here in this world, therefore, we have a set time to do more good, to improve things, to help our lives, to increase our performance of mitzvah before it's too late, before we can no longer add to the great repository of good things that we've done. And actually, this distressed a lot of great rebbeim. It made them very afraid of death, afraid of dying, even though we understand that death can be a wonderful thing, that death can bring you to the afterlife, to Olam Haba, to Gan Eden, to a world that's kulo tov, that's fully good, a world in which you're closer to Hashem, a world full of spirituality. You would think the greatest rebbeim of our time would have wanted to get there. They would have wanted to die and go to that wonderful place in Shemayim. But yet we see that the greatest figures of our rabbinic past were afraid of death because they were so worried about this particular point. They knew that every minute on this world was precious because they were able to improve themselves and they were able to do mitzvah. They were able to fulfill the commandments of Hashem, something that even the angels can't do, something that would be impossible in the afterlife. However, despite this distinction between the two worlds, between this world where we're able to do mitzvot and the world to come where we're no longer able to do mitzvot, we learn that there still is a way for a soul in Shemayim, in the afterlife, to do mitzvot, to improve their lot in this world, And this is by their descendants doing mitzvot here in this world, even after they're gone. Since the deceased person left someone behind to do good, it's as if they themselves continue to do good. Think of an example of a parent. If a parent helped you to learn how to read Hebrew, or how to daven, or how to give tzedakah, or even if they sent you to a Jewish school, or even if they modeled what it is to have a positive Jewish home full of traditions and observances, then when you continue to do those things after they die, it's as if the mitzvot that they're being done are directly related to them, directly because of them, directly because of their influence, and therefore their influence continues to go on even after they're gone. And even if a parent never taught you about Torah and mitzvot, or even about values, the very fact that they gave birth to you makes the mitzvot that you do directly related to them. Or if we were speaking not of a parent, but just of someone else, of a different type of relative that had died, we could say many of the same things. If the person, or spouse, or a sibling, or a friend, God forbid, taught you how to do a mitzvah, or even if they helped you just to develop into the type of person you are, regardless of Judaism, Torah, mitzvah, but just to be the person that you are, and now you do mitzvah, you as that person who developed, now comes to do mitzvah, those mitzvot also become directly to the person, directly related to the person, to the actions of that deceased person, and can continue to improve their lot even in the world to come. Even in the world where we thought it was impossible to improve their lot, or to better themselves, or to increase their repertoire of Torah and mitzvot. Once we understand this concept, we see that the recitation of Kaddish is part of a much larger idea, part of a total idea of doing Torah and mitzvot in this world for the purpose of helping the souls of our loved ones who have already passed away. It has to do with tefillah, with prayer, with tzedakah, with charity, and with all mitzvot. One of those practices, just one, is the recitation of Kaddish, which is not even really a mitzvah per se, but just a great act of Kiddush Hashem, sanctification of God's name, and proclamation of His greatness in public, encouraging others to do the same. That act of Kiddush Hashem is such a great merit to the deceased, because Kiddush Hashem is one of the most sacred tasks, one of the most beloved actions that we could possibly do for God. This concept of us being able to do mitzvah as if acting in the stead of those who are deceased is reflected in many statements of our sages. For example, the Gemara in Baba Batra, Daf Kuftet Zayin Amud Aleph, says, Kol ha-miniach ben kimoto, ki'ilu lo meit. Anyone who leaves behind a child after he dies, or she dies, who is like them, is as if they're not dead at all. Or even like the Gemara in Tanit, which we spoke about in last week's Take 58, which we spoke about last Shabbos, where Rabbi Yochanan says, Yaakov Avinu lo meit. Yaakov, our forefather, never died. Even though we read about his death and about his funeral and about his embalming in Egypt and how they buried him in Eretz Yisrael, still, we say he's still alive because Mazaro b'chayim, afu b'chayim. Since his children, his descendants are still alive, so too he's alive. If his children are alive and following in his ways and continuing his visions and all of his aspirations, he remains alive as well. And what these statements of Chazal are really telling us, are really saying, by telling us that people don't die when their kids do positive things in this world, it's not just saying that their memory is alive, or that their vision's alive, or that their mission is still alive and still being fulfilled in this world, but saying something much stronger than that. It's saying that they in heaven are still, quote-unquote, alive, in a certain sense. In the sense that a living person can still do mitzvot. In that sense, they're still alive. They're not like a dead person. A dead person can no longer do mitzvah. They're very much alive because they are doing mitzvah. Not by themselves, but through the agency of their children and their loved ones that they leave behind, who are still improving their lot, adding to their repertoire of mitzvah, something that we once thought was absolutely impossible for those who were deceased. There's an absolutely incredible statement of Rabbeinu Yonah, which really captures the spirit of what I'm trying to share with you this evening. Rabbeinu Yonah was one of the great rabbis of the 13th century who lived in Spain, the northern part of Spain, in the city of Girona. He was actually a cousin of a more famous, perhaps, rabbi, who was Nachmanides, the Ramban. And Rabbeinu Yonah himself was a very prominent figure who wrote important works, both on the Gemara, commentaries on the Gemara, and ethical works such as Shaarei Tshuva. And in a lesser-known work of his called Igeret HaTshuva, the Letter of Tshuva, the Note of Tshuva, he writes the following statement, which I think really puts things in perspective for us. He says, Tehe ha'isha zehira lihipalel erev aboker v'tzohorayim. Says a woman should be very careful to daven in the evening, in the morning, and in the afternoon, shachris, mincha, and mariv. And by the way, he's talking about isha here, a woman, because that's the context of the passage in which he's writing, but it could be said about a man as well. He says, ubesof tfilata, at the end of her prayers, yehe ikar tachnuneha al banah uvnoteha. At the end of her davening, the end of her prayers, the essence of what she davens for, what she prays for, should be that her children, her male and female children, sheyush yirei shamayim v'shiyu banei matzlichim b'torah, that they should be fearful of heaven, they should be people who want to follow in the ways of the Torah, people who are learned in Torah, who are successful in their Torah study. Why? Ki ikar zchuta shel ha'isha la'olam haba, the main merit of a woman, or as I'm saying, even a man, in the world to come, is shebaneha ovdim la'Hashem itbarach ve'osim ritzono v'yireim oto. The main merit of a person in the world to come is that their children should continue to serve God and continue to do His will and to continue to fear Him in this world. When she is in the afterlife, and when in her children's hearts who are still alive, they have a fear of God and they want to serve God with all of His mitzvot, nechshav Allah hadavar hazeh ke'ilu hi b'chayim ve'osa kol ha'mitzvot. It's considered as if she is exactly still alive, performing these very mitzvot. V'hi b'malot elyonet le'olam haba. Even as she's up in the most high realms of the afterlife, it's as if she's standing here in the world doing the mitzvah. Her children become her agents. Her children act in her stead. Her children are able to increase the repertoire of mitzvah that she has even in the world to come. One of the great ways we're able to understand these lofty concepts is by having an image to associate it with, by having something to picture and something to focus on. Rabbi Yitzchak Huttner, who was a fascinating rabbi, really, who was born in Europe, studied in Eretz Yisrael, in Yeshivat Hebron, one of the offshoots of the Slobodka Yeshiva, who actually knew Rav Kook and studied with Rav Kook, and very interesting ideas developed. He then moved to America and became the head of Yeshivat Chaim Berlin in Brooklyn. And he wrote many different works, including Pachad Yitzchak, which is his work about the different holidays of the year. And he also wrote up so many letters which he sent to different people around the world. And in one of his letters, he has a very interesting comment. He cites a statement of our sages which says, Barah, that a son or a child is like the leg of a parent. And he asks, V'lama dafka regel? Why specifically is a child compared to the leg of a parent? V'lama ein haben nechshav liyado shel aviv? Why is he not compared to a hand or a finger or an arm of the parent? Why specifically a leg? Rak b'nei adam b'hai alma nechshavim l'mahalchim. Ve'elu ha'neshamot u'malachim omdim hem nikraim. He says, the reason is as follows. He says, because a living person is considered someone who's walking, someone who's on a journey, someone who's able to go somewhere. Whereas the neshamas of people who are deceased, or even of the malachim who are in the upper realms, are considered omdim. They're stationary. They're static. They're not moving. And he explains that in the afterlife, Ein hiluch shel aliyah. There's no more ability to ascend. There's no more ability to journey and to go anywhere and to rise higher and higher in your perfection. Yesh rak amida b'madrega achat. You can only stand in one place. He says, haregel, a leg. Hi ha'ever asher e al yado nase hadam lamahalech. It's through your legs that a person is able to walk. V'hainu barak ra'ad avuha, and this is why we say that a child is like the leg of a parent. Klomar she'im ha'av nimtza mitzad atzmo b'matzav shel amida. Even though the parent is in a situation of standing still, is static in the heavens. Mikom makom in hiniach acharav ben hagun. If they leave behind proper children who will follow in the path of the mitzvah, harei haben ose et aviv lamhalchim. The son or the child in this world can make the parent in Shemayim into a person who's still going, who's still journeying, who's still walking, who's still rising in their observance and in their mitzvot. Afilu b'makom sha'av mitzarat matzav shalamida. Even when the parent themselves is in a static situation, they can still be made into a walker, into a journeyer, into someone who rises through their children, who act as their legs, who act as their vehicle for walking and adding to their repository of mitzvah. This concept is so important. This concept can truly be transformative of all of your actions here in this world when you view them in this way. They're not just actions for you or for me or for the world that we live in, but for our loved ones who have already passed along. I would like to share it with you as I end tonight, an incredible text of a tefillah, incredible text of a prayer that I found that really puts this in perspective of just how powerful this concept of helping those in the afterlife can be. Rabbi Eliezer Papo was a Bulgarian rabbi in the late 18th century, early 19th century. He wrote many works on halacha, on Jewish piety, and was really a major Musar thinker who wrote a Musar work called Pele Yoetz. And in the Pele Yoetz, he recites the following tefillah, the following prayer that a person could say if they wanted to every single day. It goes like this. Yehi ratzon milfanecha Hashem Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu. May it be your will, our God and God of our forefathers. Shetikabel berachamim uveratzon kol ma'aseh hatov asher ani oseh. That you, God, should accept with compassion and with desire all of the good actions that I do, bein b'machshava, bein b'dibur, bein b'maaseh, whether in my thoughts, in my speech, or in my actions, ve'yeh hakol, and let it all be, lizchut ve'lemenuchat ve'le'ilui nefesh ruach u'neshama shel avi ve'imi ve'chami ve'chamoti. May all of these good deeds that I do in the world be for the merit and the resting and the aliyah, the rising of all parts of the soul of my father and my mother and my in-laws and my uncles and my aunts and my loved ones who have passed away. Yehi ratzon shetei nishmatam nafsham tzrura bitzror hachayim. May all of their souls be bound up in the bonds of life, of those who are alive, of those who are walking and journeying, of the one quality that living people have over the dead, the quality of being able to do mitzvot. In that sense, may all of them be alive, alive through our actions and our mitzvot, that we're able to help contribute to their repository in the world to come. A beautiful prayer, even if you don't say it every day, something to think about periodically, maybe on a yahrzeit, maybe on a time that you say Kaddish, maybe on a time that you do something in the memory of a loved one, to think about this powerful prayer, to think about how we can affect our loved ones even in the world to come. Have a wonderful week.